Have Calvin Greiner here with us. And Calvin was part of the discernment team that met here August 20th, I believe.
Good guess. I don't know.
I think it was in
yeah.
August.
Yeah,
we. And so we haven't had results of that. I think Brandon will be sharing that probably our next elders meeting. But Calvin was a part of that, and he has a word from the Lord he wanted to give us. And so we're happy to hear from the Lord. So
All right. Thank you,
we're
Scott.
Glad to have you here sharing.
Thank you. Good prayer, brother. Way to go. Good prayer. Amen.
If you don't know Calvin's background, he was originally, weren't you with Chickies?
I was with Chickies.
Back in the day. Yeah. So, and God is now using him in amazing ways. Calvin has done a lot of prayer walking. I mean, like across the country. And God has used Calvin in so many ways to be a blessing to so many people. And he gives words as the Lord gives him, and he connected us years ago. You called me up out of the blue, and I didn't know you, and you didn't know me, but the Lord put us together, and it was one of those appointments that we needed, and we encouraged each other, but more me getting the encouragement from this brother. That was before the church plant. I mean, we're talking 20 years ago or more. Yeah, more than 20 years. So Calvin's been faithful, said, we're just so thankful that you're here, and you can be with us this morning, and we honor the gift that the Lord has deposited in you and for your faithfulness and using it for his glory.
Thank you.
So praise the Lord.
What a blessing. Thank you. Wow. I'll stick to my notes because we need to give Scott plenty of time to preach today. So here we go. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mike, Pastor Mike. So, yeah, Mike and I have, I don't know, we've stayed in touch, but not as much, but we're still one. I know it. So maybe 3 or 4 days ago, it just, the Holy Spirit, I know it was the Holy Spirit, for sure, spoke to me in my heart about New Beginnings and Pastor Mike and Nguyen and Scott and Judy. I said, whoa, what is this? So I am okay. I don't try to force anything, but sometimes it just works this way. So please bear with me. Amen. I hope we hear God together. So I just sensed the Lord said, reach out to Mike by phone. I had your home line. Shows how much I stayed at. So Brandon Hanks, who I love Brandon, forwarded me your real number. So we submitted to one another, and then I think you got a confirmation from Scott. So here we go. As soon as I heard the Lord speak to me about New Beginnings and Mike, immediately I got a verse, and I'm just going to read these couple of verses. And here we go, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. This is so strong right now. God is not unrighteous to forget or overlook your work and your labor of love. Not a one kind word, act like Mary. God bless Mary. Not a time where people were encouraged has God forgot. Not a one moment. So I thought all the years Mike has been faithful and Nguyen and others to the Lord and how many people he has touched and blessed through his obedience. So I thought this is such a good verse. God is not unrighteous to forget, Mike. He will never forget Scott and Judy and all of you. He will never forget your work and your love. Amen, sister? And your love, which you've showed toward him. It's got to go this way first. Amen? Everything we do must go to God first. It must go to him. All glory must go to him before anybody. So it went to him in that you ministered to the saints. Isn't that amazing? God saw it was for him, but you ministered to the saints. So he counts it very personal. When you bless his children, you honor him, and he will never forget, never overlook, never, never forget the years and the work and labor of love. So verse 11, keep going. Don't quit. Continue to do what you have been doing. Okay, that was my first verse. 1 Corinthians 15, I'll quote them to you. 1 Corinthians 15:57. I love this. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. About 50 years ago, I was born again in my little bedroom in along Hernley Road. My anniversary is coming up in a couple months. 50 years ago, as part of Chickies, Barry and Colleen and others, I was not the most. Anyway, I was lost. I went to church, but I was lost. I had no clue I could even know God. I mean, there's no revelation. I had no revelation that God wanted to be my father. But it changed one night in a moment, 50 years ago. So, thanks be to God who gives Calvin and Mike and New Beginnings a victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. So be steadfast, unmovable, my beloved brother, be steadfast, unmovable. For you know that your work, your labor is never, 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 never in vain. Amen? I'm trying to encourage you. So, Justin, let's do it right now. So I got a little special surprise for you, especially for you, Mike, and the team here. We try to get this song, but somehow it's blocked, so I'm going to read the words. Here we go. I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, then someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man. He was smiling as he came. And he said, friend, you may not know me now. And then he asked, but wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. Every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you, Michael, Luann, and others. Thank you. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you give. Then another man, this is for all of us, come on. Then another man stood before you and said, remember the time a missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry? You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the... Okay, keep going. Thank you, Justin. One by one, they came as far as the eyes could see. That's why we're here. We're here to be a blessing. Amen? We can only take what we give with us. That's it. What we do with what God gives, that's what we take. And look what how it works, the principles of sowing and reaping. One by one they came, as far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made. It's for you too, for all of you, but God bless you. I don't know you that well, but thank you for the sacrifices you have made. Don't be offended. All of you are blessed. Come on. Amen. I'm not trying to be weird today. I'm just saying this is the Spirit of God. I want to encourage you, all of you. Listen. It's recorded. All the things. Mary, even recently with the challenges. God bless. And Justin back learning how to do the sound system. The little thoughts, those prayers, those texts. Helping your wife. Doing the things at Camp Swatara. Come on. It's all working. Carpentry, fixing, helping, building. Yes, it's working. Every little thing that you do for the glory of God in Jesus' name, because you love him, works. I'm going to start it. One by one, they came as far as the eyes could see. Scott, I'm going to take a little more time than I thought. One by one, they came as far as the eye could see. Mike, one by one, you've been a servant and faithful. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know that up in heaven, you're not supposed to cry, but I'm almost sure there were tears in your eyes. As Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord, he said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. And then, Justin, could we get the chorus? Thank you. Listen, I didn't make this up. I believe the Holy Spirit himself, small church, who cares? Look what you've been given. You've been given one another. You've been given grace. You've been given solid, pure, holy leadership. Amen. I don't know how much Mike has given financially. I don't know. Only God knows you. Come on. Amen. Those little, yeah. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you gave. Wow, that's good. Thank you, Justin. I'll be finished in a couple minutes. John 4, verse 34. If I had a life verse, if I had one life verse, I'd probably hundreds, maybe 1,000. But if I had one life verse, it would be John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said this, my hunger, my meat, my desire is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. That's it. Jesus stood before the Father and said, my meat, my hunger, my will, my desire is to do the will of God who sent me and finish his work. So I declare boldly over new beginnings. As long as God gives you grace and you have the faith and the will and the purpose to stay, then keep meeting and do those two things. Seek the will of God, to do the will of God, and finish what he has given you. Amen? It's not how you start, really. I have people give me books because sometimes they, you know, Calvin, come on, 50 years in Jesus, come on, you got to end well. It's not how you start. You got to start. It's how you finish. That really counts. Jesus, I finished the work you gave me to do. So, Mike, I just want to commend you. God asked me to share this with you, so I wrote it down. Thank you for pulling my gift toward your church. You understand what I'm saying? John chapter 13, verse 20. I mean, I could quote a lot of these verses. Whoever receives, whoever I send, receives me. Whoever receives me receives my Father. Not that I'm just like you guys. If you would live with me, you would know. I have been challenged, tested, tried, physical, spiritual depression, all kinds of stuff has come at me. I know what it's like to live in a huge battle with hell and darkness and Satan and demons and my own stuff. Phew. Amen. We all got our stuff. If you don't, something's wrong with you. Amen. Because we're still growing. We got this stuff. So I feel the Lord said, encourage Mike today because and you too, Scott, don't get me wrong, but there's very little resistance here today. You know what I mean by that? There's love here. There's power. There's glory. There's oneness here in this room. Amen. Partly because this man cried out to God. God, what are you saying? What should I do? What's on your heart for this church? Because he loves you. In closing, I have L-O-W. If I can leave this with you, my little teaching. Scott, I don't know what you're teaching. This is the bottom line of the kingdom of God. This is the bottom line of the heart of God. Love. He didn't come to make us religious. He wants you. He wants me. He wants relationship. Amen. He's not interested in formulas. He wants our hearts. And when we mess up, he wants our hearts. Amen. Love. Number two, obedience. Come on. The highest form of worship isn't this. It's obedience. I'll show you. I could teach on this, but I won't. The highest form of worship to God is you obey him. Whatever that means to you. And the W is worship. We were born for intimacy and fellowship. We were born to love. We were born to be loved. We were born to love one another. Amen. So love, obedient. You know what it spells? Low. And some of you, I'm going to do it. Some of you may not like me when I leave. To me, I've studied this for 50 years. To me, you can do what you want with this. To me, the greatest position in honoring and worshiping God is here. Knees bent. Read your Bible. Solomon, Ezra, Nehemiah. Men and women of God, if you study it closely, bowed their knee and raised their hands. So, I'm not telling you what to do. That's none of my business. But I am saying your body, our bodies are vessels. And what we do with it counts. It does really count. Amen? And you can't hide it. Amen? you can't hide it. So I'll pray, and then Scott, you're on. Whew. Thank you, God, for that song, for the opportunity for Justin to help me find it, get the words up there. It just speaks so well. I pray for this amazing church, the little acts of kindness, the text, the words, whatever we have done over the last many years to help someone else change to be more like you counts. So I bless. Okay, yes, Lord. One more thing. I always like to give things, I don't know. God's a giver, so I have some oil at home. You can open your eyes. So I was going to give this to Luann, but she's not here, so maybe Judy, you're on. Come on up. Slowly, carefully. This is a pomegranate. It's a anointing oil. I have a little card so you know what it means. Pomegranate means the blessing of God and the favor of God. So I'm going to leave it with the church, and you get to maybe give it to Luann or whatever, or for the whole church. So I'm going to close in prayer. You can close your eyes again now. Stay here, sister. So God, no, you pray. You're good at praying.
Lord, we just thank you for this morning. We, as we know Luann's not here with us, we just pray that she would feel your presence and that we miss her and that, she knows that she is missed. Lord, we just thank you for Calvin's word here this morning. We thank you for the encouragement. That he has brought us. Lord, you know that we want to be your hands and your feet in whatever way that is. And you, Lord, you know that we feel we fail and fall so short. But we know there's little things here and there by our example, as Calvin said. Lord, we just lift up those missionaries that we support. We know that there's trying times for them and the times now of raising support. But we pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless them in their missions. And Lord, pray that there would not be stress for them wondering where their next dollar will come from. Not just from New Beginnings, Lord, but we pray, Lord, that there would be other churches and communities that would rise up and help them as they are your hands and feet, Lord, in a different mission fields. Thank you, Lord, for this morning, for being our Father, for being our example, for being our Savior and our friend. Amen.
Can I introduce you, Scott? Moving up, that's cool. I tried to be, tried to just do what God asked me to do. If it didn't go all exactly like you thought, that's, you know, show grace. But a lot of this was to encourage the leadership here. And it takes all of us for it to work, amen. So, Scott, how long have we, I've known you a few years, right? Your older brother Dennis graduated with me, So God, thank you for Scott Haldeman and Judy and the blessing he has been to so many people at the shop and here and there and serving the church and giving leadership and prayer, fasting, crying, just coming to the throne of grace for the will of God and the word of God. So that your spirit rest upon it. We can sense your closeness this morning, Lord. We know you're here. You always are. But I know that I know something very unique and special is taking place right now in all of our hearts because you're our Father. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, that's right. You don't need that.
Thank you, Calvin. And let's pray for Calvin and his ministry. Father, we just thank you for Calvin. We thank you for his faithfulness and praying and just praying for others and blessing others and encouraging others. And we thank you for his encouraging message this morning. But continue to work through him, Father. Mm-hmm. Continue to speak into his heart. Give him the next route where you want him to walk and pray for different people. Prayer is such a powerful weapon that we don't use to the best of our abilities, I think, sometimes. But Calvin does a good job at that. And so we just thank you for his example, mm-hmm. for the way he blesses others and the way he prays for them and the way he ministers. And so continue to work through him and Steph. Continue to bless their marriage. Continue yes. to watch over both of them. Yeah. And continue to give him guidance. It's all about you, Father. It's not about us. And so we want to be obedient to you. And thank you for the way that Calvin's been obedient to you over the years. Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Amen. My lovely wife. Bless me today. She's at our church in Etown, Dove, Etown. She doesn't always go with me. When she does, you know, it's her choice. So we're both free. Amen. So 47 years, a beautiful, beautiful wife. I could not do what I do. It'd be impossible to do what I do without the support of Stephanie. And she knows that, and I let her know a lot. Amen. So you got your mic'd up, Mike.
Father, we just pray that as we look at your word, that you would make it come alive to us. You've given this to us for a reason. And there's so many things for us to learn from this book we call the Bible. And so we need your help to do that, Father. We need you to teach us. We need you to bring pages alive to us. And so we just ask you to do that this morning. In your name we pray, amen. Did anybody read Ephesians 5 or going through the book of Ephesians? So you don't have to raise your hand, I guess. But it's an awesome book. And the more I study it, the more I'm thinking, how did I miss these things in the past? There's just always new things that I think coming up. But just starting at the first two verses, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. I had to think, did you think about God today? Was he in your mind? Do you admire Jesus? Do you adore, love, and respect the Holy Spirit? Do you think about those things? I think on a Sunday morning, I can safely say that you probably all thought about God. And those are all good things that I just mentioned. But what Paul is saying here in verse 1 is be imitators of God. I think that goes even further. And I like the word picture he gives us here of a little child. Did you ever have a child, or maybe some of us a grandchild, where you see them do something, well, that's just like their dad, or they say the same thing their mom did. And I can think of that as our kids were growing up. Sometimes I'm thinking, I got to watch some of the things I say or do because my children are watching and copying what I do. And your children love their mommy. They love their daddy, and they don't maybe always understand what you're doing or what you're saying, but they'll copy you, and they'll imitate you. And so that's the picture Paul's giving us when he says that we should imitate God as little children. I think that changes a little bit when we think of little children, what that actually means. We should be imitating God, doing what he does. And then he goes in verse 2 and he says about imitating Jesus Christ. Live a life of love just as Christ. And anybody talk about love this morning already? Imitate a life of love just as Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loved us so much that he died on a cross for each one of us. That is love, isn't it? And we are to imitate that love and how we treat others. And I had to think about that. When we imitate God and we try to do what he does, sometimes that requires sacrifices on our part. And I had to think of the sacrifices Jesus, what he sacrificed, his life. You know, and I think that Jesus didn't really want to do that. Remember in the garden, he said, if you can, Father, take this cup from me. I don't really want to do it. It's not my human side doesn't want to do this, Father. But then what did Jesus say? Not what I want to do, but you want to do. And so we are to imitate God that way and imitate the love that Jesus has for us. So then we're going to look at, I think someone has Ephesians 5 verses 3 to 17. We're going to read that now. And this is kind of instructions, I guess we could say, on how to live our life, maybe, and how not to live it. So let's listen to these words from Ephesians chapter 5.
But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is.
Thank you, Claire. Verse 3 and verse 4, Paul goes into some things that we should not be doing. Verse 3, or what I would call sins of action, it talks about sexual immorality. That would be adultery. That would be sex before marriage. Fornication would be sex before marriage. Adultery, sex outside of marriage. Homosexuality, sex with animals. All those types of things were happening. And I think Ephesus had a lot of problem with some of these sexual sins. So that's one of the reasons that was mentioned. But also he says any kind of impurity, lust, being wildly extravagant, living excessively, spending money on things you probably don't need but just enjoy. And the third thing is greed. Do you ever have trouble with greed or coveting something someone else has, you want it? I mean, do you always need more? Are you ever content with what you have? God wants us to be content with where we're at in life here so that we can put our resources and our time towards what he wants us to be doing. And then it goes into verse 4, and I think this talks about sins of that would come out of our mouth, sins of words, things that we'd say, and it talks about obscenity, filthiness. I know I have a customer that comes into the store, can't say a sentence without the F word in it, and I've invited him to church quite a few times, and if he comes, he might say that, so you'll have to be gracious to him. I'm hoping and praying he will sometime, but sometimes that's an issue we have with our mouths. Foolish talks, things that we just should not say. Sometimes I think I talk too much, so I have to be careful that I just don't say something sometimes that I shouldn't say. It has to be something that God wants me to be saying. Coarse joking, dirty jokes, sexual jokes, that kind of thing. That has no place for Christians. Paul isn't saying that we need to not do these things to be saved. We all know that we can't earn our salvation. But these are things we should do because we're saved, because we're imitating our Heavenly Father, because he's working in our lives. There are things that we should find that we just don't want to do. We should have a desire not to do them. And then we go to verse 5 and 6. There are consequences to these things. And the first one in verse 5, it says, "You can be sure no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an adulterer, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." That's pretty serious. That's talking about not being able to have eternity in heaven with Jesus. And then the second thing in verse 6, it says that God's wrath will be unleashed on us if we do these things. And in verse 7, therefore we should not be partners with them. And I think we've heard this before from Ephesians, but Paul is saying that there needs to be a difference in our lives. There's a difference in the things that we do. We should have different standards than the world does. We should have different likes than what the world does. Our passions should be different than people in the world have. And then Paul goes in verse 8, and I think he starts explaining a little bit and showing us some of these differences. For you were once darkness, but now you are light. I think it's interesting that Paul doesn't say you were living in darkness. He says we were darkness. That was a little bit more difficult for me. Some of us maybe didn't have what we would say would be a real horrible life. But apart from God, it's the same. It doesn't matter how bad we were or how good. If we were apart from Jesus, then we were living in sin. If we're living in sin, we're opposed to God. And if we're opposed to God, then we're on the side of evil, I would say. And even though I won't look back and say my life was evil, and you might do the same, it really was because we were in opposition to God. And so there's a big distinction here. And then he goes on to say that we're light. And we're the light of the Lord. We have to shine for him. And I had to think about that. There's a big contrast here between light and darkness. Who can't tell a difference between light and... Do you notice? Can you tell when it's night and when it's daytime? It's very obvious. It's the same way between God and Satan. The differences are very obvious. We should easily recognize them. Same as between good and evil. There's an obvious difference, and we need to recognize those things. So before we go to verse 9, though, I wanted to address this whole thing. Calvin, you said there are very dark times in your life. I think we can all say that there are probably some dark times in our life. If you are going through a dark time, or you get involved in some of these sins we talked about, or something different, does that mean you're not a Christian anymore? And I think a good way to test that is if you're involved in something or you do something that you just don't feel good about. Is there regret in your life? Is there remorse? Do you feel guilty? Do you feel really terrible and you want to fall at the Lord's feet and ask for forgiveness? And you have a real desire, you want to change that. I think that's the sign of God working in your life to bring sanctification, to make you holy, to make him more like you. And even though life's a struggle at times, and we all go through struggles, we need to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to help overcome some of these things and some of these things that come against us, because Satan will throw whatever he can. He's a ruthless guy. He's not nice. And he'll do whatever he can. But if you're in something and you do it over and over and over again, and you think, oh, this is pretty good, and you start justifying it, and you start saying, well, this isn't really that bad, God, and you make all kinds of excuses, and you just kind of enjoy it, and life goes on, that's a sign you're slipping into darkness. We know what's sin and what isn't. It's an obvious comparison, just like light and darkness. And so I think we can't ignore it. We need to deal with it because God will expose it. Verse 9. Oops, I'm in the wrong chapter. For the fruit of the light consists. Here there are three sins of action, three sins that we speak, and now there's three things that I think show that we're children of light. The first thing is goodness. That's your morality, being morally excellent. The second thing there is righteousness. I often think of righteousness as right living, but it means integrity, virtue, having purity in the things that you say and the things that are in your mind. things that we do and the way we act. And the last one is truth. It means there's no deception. That means that you're always speaking what is right and what is true, and what is clear. It means you're a genuine person. And then we get to verse 10, which is a pretty short verse. If you want to memorize one, it's pretty easy and it's pretty important. I think this goes along a little bit with some of the things we heard already today. But find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. And I looked at the Greek word for that. And the Greek word, I think, goes a lot deeper than just finding out. It means to examine, test. Look at something closely to discover information. So we need to put some effort into finding out what pleases God. And some of the ways we do that is, if you don't read this, you're not going to learn some of those things. So this is important. And if it's easier to read, some people it's much more difficult. But at least read a chapter a day. Start getting into God's Word. That's how you're going to find out what pleases Him. Ask the Holy Spirit. Listen to some messages, you know, when you go to church. There's things there you're going to learn that'll please our Heavenly Father. But it's our job to find out. We need to look at things through the eyes of Jesus Christ. That would change our lives tremendously, wouldn't it? Then we go to 11 and 14. When we look through the eyes of Jesus, it'll start exposing things in our life that are not of God. The other night, Judy was in bed already, and I came a little late, and I was trying to be quiet. But it was pitch black in our bedroom, and I don't know what I ran into, and I said, oh, shoot, I thought I'll wake. I don't know if Judy heard me at all or not. Probably she did, but because she's a light sleeper. But I felt bad. But when it's dark, we don't see things, do we? It's pretty simple. When you turn the light on, everything's exposed. You can see it. I could have easily gone to bed without waking her up, although the light probably would have done that in place of that. So Matthew 5, someone have that, verses 14 to 16? I'd like you to read that. This talks about living in the light. It's Jesus' own words. You are the light of the world. It's very familiar. Let's listen to this scripture. Thanks, Nicole.
Yep. You are the light of the world, like a city on a mountain, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father.
Amen. It's our job to carry the light of Jesus to the world. Light exposes things. So if we're living for Jesus, if there's sin in your life, that's going to be exposed. God will reveal that to you because you need to deal with it. But it also will reveal sin in others. And I think sometimes the world isn't going to like you because they might see something in themselves that needs to go because of the way you're living your life. But we need to live as Jesus would. We need to be finding out what pleases God and doing that in our lives. And when we do that, you will find some resistance because some people aren't going to like that. And then verse 14, I think this is one of my favorite ones here. This is a quote from Isaiah. Wake up! Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead. So I had to think, rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. I had to think, there's a couple things we can get from this verse. But the first thing is, if we're not showing the light, people don't see the light of Jesus in us, Paul's saying, wake up. You need to get this. This is important. Listen to what I'm saying. You need to be shining the light so others can see that in your life. The other thing I think it's saying is, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I think everybody here does, but if you don't, you know, you're starting to hear some of this. If sin's being exposed and you know something's not right in your life and you want to make a change, he's saying, wake up. You got to get this. You got to give your heart to Jesus Christ so that the light can come in. So whether you're not a Christian, you need to do that, Or you just need to wake up. We need to start doing what Jesus wants us to do. So that was my favorite verse, I think, this morning, because it's a call to action for us. Then we go to 15 to 17. I think these are ways that we're given to learn how to walk wisely in the light. Verse 15 says, be careful how you live. No, it says, be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but wise. So make sure, I think again, that you're pleasing the Lord. We live in evil days, and so because of that evil around us, we need to be seeking the Lord diligently. We need to be choosing wisely how we follow, and we need to choose wisely how we do the things he's asking us to do. We need to follow his guidance. We need to be aware of what that is. And then it goes on in 16. I think we all know this, but I don't think about this a whole lot. But our time on this earth is short. Dwayne had a short life, I think, only 50. And many of us here are older than that. But in the light of eternity, even if you live to be 100, that's not very long. So we don't have much time to do what God wants us to do. And so there should be a little bit of urgency about shining the light and telling others about Jesus. And there should be urgency that we make good choices too, and not bad. And verse 17 is, do not be foolish, understanding what God's will is. It's kind of repeating again. We need to know what God wants us to be doing. I think part of what 17 is trying to tell us, don't do what I want to do. I should be doing what God wants me to do. And sometimes that's difficult because there's so many things in life. We have so many responsibilities, so many people to see. But what does God really want me to be doing? Who should I be talking to? Who should I be ministering to? How do you want me to use my time, God? And again, if we do that, sometimes that requires great sacrifices. As I thought about that, if we would stop right here, this is difficult. What Paul is asking is not easy. Do you want to sacrifice for him? Do you want to give up things for him? And so we need to go on to verses 18 to 21. I think someone has those to read. This is, I think, how we need to be empowered to be able to do the things God's asking us to do.
Ephesians 5, 18 to 21. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
So there's an analogy here between wine and the Holy Spirit. So what's Paul trying to say? So I'm looking, well, what happens when you're drunk? So I'm not speaking from experience in this thing, but I think when you get drunk, well, I am kind of speaking from experience because someone related some things to me when they were drunk that they shouldn't have. When you're drunk, you kind of lose control of yourself. The wine or the alcohol takes over. And sometimes you might do things or say things that you normally wouldn't say because you've lost control and you behave differently. I think the same way when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we should also lose control of self, right? We should lose control of self. And so the things we say and the things we do are going to be different than we would normally do in human nature. And the way we behave will be different because we've lost control. So this says here, instead be filled. So I looked at the Greek word for filled because there's different Greek words for this. The Greek word is, if I say this right, pleroo. And it means to make full, fill to the top, to furnish or supply liberally. And so when we're filled with the Spirit, I think that means there's no self in us anymore because we're completely filled with the Holy Spirit. And this isn't when we accept Christ as our Savior and we say the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us, that's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Filling, I think the best way to do it, we need to do over and over and over again. And we need to spend time with the Lord. And we need to be in His Word. We need to be asking for Him. We need to basically be giving our lives to Him so that He can come in and take control. When we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, when He fills us, I think that's going to enable us to do some of those things that we were talking about earlier in a chapter. It's not easy sometimes to make sacrifices or easy to do things that I don't want to do, but God wants me to do them. The Holy Spirit coming in, getting rid of ourself, and Him coming in is going to help us to do that. So some of the results when the Holy Spirit comes and fills us is that we're going to be able to accomplish God's purposes. I think worship is going to be part of your life. I don't know, just there's going to be a song floating around in your head all day long, I think. You know, and we're going to be more in tune with what He wants us to do. That doesn't mean we're going to be dancing around and waving. That could be a result. But also, I think it's more importantly how we interact with other people. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be able to minister, I think, a little better. I think some of the problems I have sometimes, I think I try to minister maybe to someone even at work when I might only be half full or three quarters because my mind's on work or different things, you know, and it's not always where it needs to be. But we need to be filled. Our mind needs to be solely on Jesus for us to do the best job that we can for Him. I think we become a thankful person. We need to be thankful. I think it mentions that here. It talks about 19 about worshiping the Lord, I think, and then 20, always give thanks to the Lord. And I had to think of that when 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. You know, and I asked Chuck this morning, I said, did you thank God when you shot a nail through your hand? You know, and that's, and I'm not picking on Chuck, that's not the first thing when something terrible happens that we think about thanking God. But that's what He's asking us to do. And I think being filled with the Spirit helps us. And I think a good example of that are Paul and Silas. When they're thrown in prison and they're in the stocks, I think I'd be saying, Lord, what did I do wrong? Why did you put me here, Lord? I'm trying to do what you want, and here I am. Is that what they were saying? They were praising the Lord and thanking Him, giving Him thanks. You know, that's not a human trait. That's something that comes from the Holy Spirit within you. So always be thankful. Don't be a grumbler. It's what I wrote here. I have to think of my mother-in-law. I don't want to bring up bad memories, but I remember every week we would go visit Shirley when she was sick for years, and she could just lay in a bed basically. And so she always loved to see her children. Always loved when we were there. And so every Sunday we would go over and we had to play hand and foot. That's what she liked, and we would pretty much do everything for her. But she just loved that game. I got so sick of that game because that's all we ever played. But I never once heard her complain. I didn't hear her grumble about the condition she was in. And I think my wife got some of those traits because she's going through a lot with this knee the last, 3 years, and a lot of pain, 5. And I might not say I never heard her grumble, but I can't recall one time I heard her grumble about it. I know it. Sometimes it would change her disposition a little bit because of pain and what she was going through. But that's what God is calling us to do, not to grumble. And I'm guilty of this at work sometimes. I know I've had some issues with a phone company. I guess I shouldn't say their name here. But after being on the phone an hour with them, I got a little grumbly after that. And our guy in the shop noticed that, and so I said, you know, I shouldn't be grumbling. You need to tell me when I grumble so I can work on that. And I haven't asked him lately, but he's helped me with that a little bit. But we need to be aware of that. We need to be giving thanks. And sometimes we don't feel like it, but that's what God is asking us to do. And then we close this morning with verse 21. Submit to one another. Put others first. Sometimes when we submit, I think it helps us to understand we have different giftings. Sometimes giftings do this, like Paul and Barnabas. Paul was an apostle, Barnabas was an encourager. And when it came to John Mark, there was a little bit of this going on because their gifts were both doing what they were supposed to, but they were in conflict with one another. So submitting helps us, I think, understand the way gifts and the way God designed them to work in the church. And I think when we put others first, when we submit, I think it helps us together put each other first, or put God first in our lives. So I can help Calvin can help me put God first by just the way we interact. But that's part of submitting. And then we're not going to get, the rest of the chapter is with husbands and wives. I didn't deal with that. But I will say this, just to put that in a nutshell, I think sometimes we as husbands are supposed to be the leaders of the home. And sometimes, or probably most likely all the time, we're probably at fault when there's trouble in the marriage because we're not loving the way Christ loved. We need to love our wives like Jesus loved us, willing to die for them, to do whatever is needed. And then wives are to submit. You can read that at home this week. But I didn't have a song to close this morning. But I think we're going to sing. Let's just close with Sanctuary. I just love that song because that's what we're supposed to be for Jesus Christ. God needs to come in and live within us, and that would change our whole disposition and the way we live. So, Mary. Thankful in all circumstances. I'm sorry, that's a little different. Did I say it ever?
Yeah.
I think what Dwayne went through and what Shirley went through, my mother-in-law, I can be thankful that they're with Jesus now. You know, sometimes Lois Hostler, you would know Lois, told me one time that, you know, we as Christians, we look forward to going and spending eternity with Jesus. But she made the comment one time, we were talking about this, and she made the comment, you know, we spend an awful lot of money trying to hang around here on this earth sometimes. And it just made me think. You know, because we do. We want to see our grandkids grow up. We want to see our children, you know, and their lives. You know, it just gives us a joy to do that. And yet, what's waiting for us is so much better. And yet, sometimes it's hard for us to, yeah. So, any other comments? Sorry, Mary. Thanks for the correction. that's correct. That was a long time ago in my life. That was before me, wasn't it? That was when I was in volunteer service out in Illinois. So, Lord, prepare me. We want your light to shine through us. We want to be like you, But we need help to do that, Father. And so we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we just ask, Holy Spirit, that this week you will help us do that. Show us when we're in error. Show us when we're going the wrong way. Help us learn to be obedient. Holy Spirit, is what we ask in your name. Thank you for the blessings you give us. Thank you for the encouragement you've given us this morning through Calvin. And we just pray we will be energized to go out into the world this morning to spread your gospel. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.